Good afternoon. You're on the air. All right.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi, sir.
Yes, sir.
This is Nasser. How are you?
I am well, sir. And good. You? All the best.
I'm good,
to
too. Very
air.
Good. Very good. Listen to some of your comments on so this morning. But this song very good to me, but I want to add some inputs to them.
Go right
before
ahead,
we
sir.
Do that, I want to get rid of this truck talk and the garbage truck in a hurry. The Light and Power has about, I think, 53 trucks. I think most of them, if not all of them, are international. Have you ever seen one on the road broken down yet?
Nope.
Right.
I thought you were going to tell me they're all left-hand. Most of them are left-hand drive, too.
There are a lot of my left-hand drives, too. Left-hand drive is not the issue, though. I mean, I waste my energy discussing left-hand and right-hand drive trucks in Barbados. That's not the issue. You know, the point is, you made a point just know that some trucks were available, and we want trucks, and therefore they grabbed the trucks. But they did not grab any kind of trucks. They grabbed some of the best trucks there is.
Yep.
Right? So the government, they run around look for some, just before I see a truck by it. The trucks that just came to this country are top-class trucks. As far as I know, I have never seen any of the Light and Power trucks on the road broken down yet. I don't know if you ever see any, but I've never. And you know why? Because they have a contract with a contract in Barbados to maintain those trucks. And every 3 months, not every week like the transport board buses or what can happen now with these things. Every 3 months, those vehicles are serviced. You can give me any reason why, Mr. Price, a bus or a truck from inside Israel, every minute in the workshop, every minute in the workshop, they're not using a different equipment. I have said to the government before and I said to this one, though, that we should really divide the equipment into sections. We get 30 or 25 trucks or buses, and one company will deal with those buses. I mean deal with them, paint them, make sure the seats fix everything. And you have a contract for them to keep those buses or those trucks on the road. And I'll bet you that you will not see the problem that we are having now with the buses. Because no matter what we do, we still cannot get enough buses and to move all people around. And I would not like to say on your radio, but if I could, I would have said, there is a question of integrity in some of these institutions. And we have to analyze, a serious analysis has to be done. The government should select people by now to do serious internal and external and any kind of audit, to do serious research on why these vehicles do not last on the road, they was breaking down. These are things that must be done. So I hear you today with all your heart, saying that we got to move this country forward and we want betterment, and sometimes we got to not deal with all the past, which is true. The past will always be there. So it's not that it is not there, it's that you can't live in the past. We have to go forward. So I agree with you 100%. So we have to ask the question, what, and the government should long time have somebody asking the Light and Power, why your vehicles never broken down? They're always on the road, and always the same quality equipment always done. That's one thing we have to clear. And you can only get that by exactly what I just said. No, two. We have to put a cap. You're talking about moving this country forward and getting this country improved, I too. But I think it's time enough that we accept that a cap got to put on some of these professional fees, especially in the medical field. We have some exorbitant prices are charged for operations so in this country. Now, I don't matter who gets vexed. But you cannot have a little country like Barbados with these exorbitant medical fees on the people. That is something that has to be looked at, too. So you can sit down with the professionals, have a discussion on what the cap should be. You don't do it blind. And I guarantee you that that would also help this country to go forward. There are too much high prices charged for some of these operations so that is being done in Barbados.
Before you go on to the next thing, on this point, for the last couple of years, more than a couple, I can tell you that I'm aware that a number of people who were given a price for certain types of operations here, went over to Mount Hope in Trinidad.
Yeah.
I had that done because don't forget, $100 in Barbados is really $33 in Trinidad.
Cool.
So if you're charged $50,000 or let's say $30,000 for surgery here, you're actually going to pay $10,000 in Trinidad for the same surgery.
Yeah.
So when you add the cost for the stay and everything, it still works out as less. So I'm just saying that is what has been happening. So in other words, I'm agreeing with that your point, and I'm adding to because of what you're saying that has been occurring. Those with means and who don't want to go out of the Caribbean, like go to Miami or to Toronto. They have been going to Mount Hope in Trinidad. Anyhow, your next point.
No. Mr. President, we're talking about bringing some balance to this country, you know? Thank God for me. I thank God for me because I really ain't afraid for nobody in the United States. I say as I see it. The government, these governments that we keep producing, including this one that they're giving all my support to, better wake up and understand that there's a lot of imbalance in the way they distribute work to people. They're giving too much work to a few people and not spreading the work around. And that is one reason why we are having some serious problems in this country. You give a man a big project, and a lot of little sections can be taken out of that can help other small businesses in the country. And the government just give them all. I don't care which government is, including this government, because that kind of principle ain't compromising for nobody. And I hope the whole prime minister, who is trying her best, understand that these projects got to be broken down so that more people can share in them. That would also help the country to go forward. Because you cannot continue to give one company or two companies all this big work and then expect the other people in Barbados to feel happy about it. So there's another one that won't look in, where the government, and I give an example, suppose the government build a highway. The companies, we know the big companies will get the major work. But you know something? All the little coverage for the rails, all the little sidewalks in various areas should be done by other people. The lot of input into that project can be done by other people in Barbados, and they should be given the opportunity to do that. And these things will help the country to go forward. And the next thing the government have to look at is this. This idea about us, you in the government, you isolate all the people who go there and fight for you and help you to win and talk war about you in the government. Nobody wins a government. People lose a government. The Democratic Party did not, the Barbados Party did not win the last government. The Democratic Party lose it. When the Democratic Party won it, the Democrats did not win it. The Barbados Party lose it. Because people are always vexed with who are ruling them, not who's going to take over. Because 90% of the time, they don't know who is going to take over. So if a government is smart and want to improve a country and move it forward, the first thing they have to lock in their head that people just get frustrated with what we do. So we have to do things that people would like. And it can't be talk alone. We have to see some action along with the talk. And finally, I'm going to say this here. This idea that when you win a government, you'll be suddenly become a god of the people. I don't care who it is, must stop. No, I'm not saying, let me explain this here so we don't get mixed up. Because they're always ready for an answer. I'm not saying this here to the honorable prime minister. I am saying this to any leader. This idea about when you become a leader, you suddenly become a god of the people, must stop. This idea of not communicating with people, and that whatever you say is law, and that nobody can challenge what you're saying. And the reason why you get dead, then you get challenged that you have to deal with, is because you don't sit down and let your normal people who love you challenge you. In other words, Mr. Price, I should be able to say to you and Dennis Johnson, so, Marty, Mr. You said something on the radio today that I don't think you should say. No, I don't say that because I don't like you or I don't like Dennis Johnson. But, you know, it might be ignorant to what I say. But at the same time, you might say, but that's it, you did not understand what I said, but this is what I meant. Mm-hmm. Now, that would make me feel good. But if you look at me and tell me you don't want to hear me, you know you're in trouble. Because I can start saying the same thing he's saying all the time, and people can start believing what he's saying all the time, and you then have to do defending all the time. Mm-hmm. All I am saying to this country is that we have a new government. please look at the country in total, not in a sections. Share the work around. Look and see where poor people are being, people in Barbados, because the people who spend $50,000 and $60,000 and $75,000 for operation of the poor people. Look and see where you can sit down with the people in Barbados that has the financial strength and the professionals, although you know I question that at times, and see how we can sit down as a people and ease the pressure off this country. And then you will see a country going forward, Mr. Price. Right now, most of the people in Barbados are worrying about, let me save every second, let me get every second, because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And if I'm wrong, you tell me, Mr. Price. God, that's what we need to do. We need to take the pressure off of people where there's fear. And I tell you, Mr. Price, I am seeing too much fear in this country right now. And those people who shut their eyes and believe that they don't understand it and think that everything cool in this country, making some big mistakes. And I want to say this funny song, but I don't want to tell the Prime Minister the foolishness. I am here to support you, but I cannot sit down and see anything going wrong that can hurt the majority of people in this country, and they don't say anything about it, because I have not been developed that way. Mr. Price, that is my input, and I appreciate the time that you allow me to talk.
No problem, Nasser. Take good care. All the best to you. Move to the next call. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, my concern is I have a friend who is a sole proprietor in the Fairchild Street bus stand. And her concern is who will look after her loss of earnings? She has to pay her mortgage and she has to pay her rent for her stall. She do not have a wide product mix in her stall, right? And the thing about her is all the dust and stuff after the thing, who going to clean up all of that type of thing? Where are they going to put the people? Do they have a plan in store for these people out there to that they can make money to pay the mortgage and send school to children and that sort of thing? Because that is a major concern for her. I don't know about the others, right? My next question to you is,
before you go off that question,
we have pensioners out there who get a small amount of money and have to pay bills, land tax, and whatnot, and yet still they have a card and they can't get on board the bus because the bus isn't on time and they got to look for either $7 or $14 bus fare to get from one point to the other. That is something that is burning them. My next point is, if they're going to be moving the fire station, where are they going to locate the fire station? Because, remember, the city is fairly dense with the merchants as well as other residents, all in the Orleans castle all around, right? In case of a fire, what's going to happen? They had a fire at Tannis years ago. That went flat. They had a fire at Fogarty and Care Shepherd. That went flat. And the fire service, service was just a blow away. I would like an explanation for all these things. It's okay to push down the National Insurance Building. They can do what they like. But at the same point in time, they have to have a plan in place for all of these things. You know? It's a serious thing. Suppose they have a big fire and whatnot.
All right. You've made your point. You've read the messages that you had to read very well. The only thing that I'm going to really respond to you is that related to the supposed friend that you have, sole proprietor in the market. That is why the public relations people are having a discussion with the vendors first and foremost. Apparently, a little birdie told me that they have a number of proposals that they're planning to put to them, and all of that will be taken up as well. So as I said, I understand the messages that you have read. Next caller, you are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Mr. Sanka.
Good afternoon to you.
Best wishes to your family for the new year.
Same to you, sir.
Thank you. I'd like to make a little contribution, please. I heard you say that you're a bit tired, fed up, with people who call and constantly nitpick. I agree with you. but I hope that you draw a distinction between nitpicking and persons who pay meticulous attention to details, right, and who have an eye for precision. Now, I heard you say earlier that this is the third decade of the new millennium, the 2000s. I want to suggest to you that I do not understand why people would say that 2020 is the third decade. According to my understanding, from year one to year 2000 would be 2,000 years. So I'm thinking that the first decade of the 2000s will start from 2001. So according to my understanding, the year 2020 is actually the final year of the second decade of the century. And 2021 will then the beginning of the new decade. What do you think of that?
I bow to your precision and detail, sir.
Well, what you don't bribe me is bad nitpicking. And another point, I'm pleased to see the efforts being made by Ms. Motley and her administration. I will say up front that I will always be very skeptical of the animal we describe as a politician. But I get the sense that Ms. Motley and her team are making genuine efforts. I don't feel as despondent as I felt during the tenure of the former regime, right? But if I might say something a bit skeptical, I hope when Mrs. Motley, we manage to bring home these hopefully thousands and thousands of people for a 2020 gathering, we do not subject them to the same level of torture and abuse that we in Barbados have to endure from these people, these inconsiderate miscreants who fly kites all through the day and night. Sanka, you know, some people might scoff at it, but I think it's an extremely serious problem. You know, I live in the Thorpes area. My God.
It's Thorpes St. James?
Yes.
So they fly them on the pasture or just in some of the avenues, the gaps up there?
Well, I did some investigation, but I was forced to. And the kites that were annoying the... And let's face it, one kite in the sky can disturb persons in a virtually a one-mile radius. You know that? So I actually... What I did, I called the Holton Police Station, and they were extremely helpful and cooperative. But the thing is, you can't send police at night, nor indeed during the day, to search for a kite, because it's very difficult to locate where kites are tied. But I took 2 hours out one morning, and I perused Hall Village, and I located where some of them were tied, and I sent the police to the specific locations, and the police dealt with them. Right? Mm. Now, I also made a remark, I guess it's a kind of cliche, to the police. Man, I bet them kind of things could happen down the West Coast where they got them multi-million-dollar mansions. The police tell me the material skipper, man, there's plenty of cuts down there with the hotels too. It is a real problem. So if you have elderly people, I mean, you've heard this before. My granny, personally, she's a centenarian. She's 102 years old.
So there's hope for you then. Maybe in your genes.
Well, my genes, I got them in the city. I don't know if there's anything special about them. But but yes, well, I guess what she's like is hope. But the point is, she complains at night. She can hear the racket all through the night. It's not fear. It's not right. And I think it speaks to a very uncouth and callous and uncaring attitude displayed by certain elements in our country. Right? So I hope that when we are bringing home these people, you don't have them complaining, well, I couldn't sleep for the 2 weeks I was here. Mm-hmm. Now, these kites, right? Not only the kites, I might say. We on the whole in Barbados seem to have little regard for how the things we do impact on others. Mm-hmm. On the whole, we are a very noisy society. People seem to think they have the right to turn up their music systems, right? As lowly as suits them, with little regard for how it affects the others. Even these church people who come up with their bullhorns and disturb entire districts. And very often what you're seeing is absolute nonsense, in my opinion, anyway, right? So I'm saying that as a society, we need to be more caring and considerate. Mm-hmm. Then there are those who light up their fires. I mean, we're not going to bring home people and subject this sort of uncle treatment, are we? So are these things we need to look at. Another area I'd like to comment on, sir, briefly.
You're mm-hmm. going off of these nuisances? that no because I want to I want to congratulate you for raising it, and I agree with you 100%. I am a victim of kite flying at night. It is one of the most disturbing things you can have, especially when you're tired. But then every time you turn, you hear this noise, and it really drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But the next thing, and one of the things you did not mention, mm-hmm. which in my view is a real problem, but can be effectively dealt with, the baffles on the mufflers on these motorcycles. Jeez, Don. Let me tell you, there is nothing worse than 2-3 o'clock in the morning, a motorcycle pass, and a fella revving.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It will shake you out of your bed. Believe you me, those of us who would have gone through that know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. You know, there's this level of people not caring about others, and they just do these things. And I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Okay.
Wholeheartedly. You're on the ball as far as I'm concerned when it comes to that. Make your next point.
Thank you. But I just say, as an adjunct to what you just stated, you mentioned the jarring noise made by the rip-roaring motorcyclist during the night. But my man, even during the day.
Even during the day too? Yeah.
Shatter you out of your bones, man. Look,
the radio will be on. When the motorcycle pass, you can't even hear the radio. You can't even hear the radio. It's ridiculous. So I understand every word you're saying.
Thank you. But I'll say this as well. On the whole, right, we as a society, this is my honest opinion, right? We as a society, coming out of slavery and colonization, we have not really addressed the deep psychosocial issues that have impacted on us. We do have people in Barbados, in my opinion, who are extremely uncouth and inhumane and almost inhuman. Now, as a guy told me, if a guy is a moron, you shouldn't necessarily blame him 100%. I can understand that, because you have to look into the circumstances, the social engineering, his own personal circumstances that have conspired to make him as he is. But at the end of the day, a problem is a problem. And if nobody recognizes, admits, and addresses these issues, they will continue ad infinitum. Now, I heard Professor Harry Beckles made, in my opinion, a kind of passing comment about intergenerational trauma. I think the eminent professor needs to come down from his ivory tower and expound on it, because it's real. It's real. Certain trauma is passed on intergenerationally through the socializing process, and also, I'm told, through the same genes you just spoke about. Yes. So if you have human problems which reflect in flawed character, and that reveals itself in all aspects of our lives, even in cricket. If I even referring to our team as the West Indies cricket, to me, is a form of schizophrenia. We're not Indians. We're not West of India. Why do we call ourselves West Indians? You could go on and on. There are underlying issues we need to address. But
all right. So I thank you very much for your contribution. And that last part, I'm laughing not because I think it's funny, is because I remember having a discussion about that years ago when it was at UE in KFIL. We had a discussion about that for just about 2 hours, arguments back and forth, and it still couldn't be resolved at that time in none of our minds, but it's an interesting thought. I hope to hear you some other time. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. If you're on speakerphone, just come in closer.
Huh?
Yeah. Are you on speakerphone, sir? Take me off of speakerphone, because we have an echo.
Okay. Let me move. Yeah.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead, sir.
Listen, I want to come in here. I am picking back and forth. My thing. Keith.
So we're really having problems here. If there's no improvement, we ain't going to go to another call.
I turn off the radio.
Oh, good. Uh-huh. Go right ahead.
I'm not mistaken, but my question is, how trans transparent can the government be?
How transparent? Could you repeat that, please? I didn't quite get it.
How transparent can the government be? I know they have to be transparent, but what is coming across to me, Sanka, is that people like to want the government to come and tell them everything. And we know that our government cannot come to the public and give them everything. But the situation in town, I think that could have been done differently. We should have known more about it. I agree with what they said about that project, right? Because it's going to affect a lot of people. And when the government was on the platform, they were telling us it's transparency. I think in that case, it could have been more transparent. Another thing, I want to talk about the crime that's happening in Barbados, especially the murder crime. So we have started, we have one for the year so far.
And one shooting.
Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to come and talk to us and tell us the truth.
And tell us the truth, did you say? I'm not picking you up properly, see, so forgive me if I ask you to repeat yourself.
Uh-huh. I'm telling us the truth about what really going on, because I think, I am not blaming anybody, but I think the police force of itself need to come and tell us. They don't have to tell us in detail everything, but come and deal with this, because I can't take 50 more murders this year, you know. I don't know if you could take it, but I cannot take it. This thing is becoming overbearing. First of all, we had the Attorney General coming and telling us things last year. I need some action. I am tired.
What action do you really want?
Oh, are we taking action against these murderers that have been happening?
Are we taking action against murders? Exactly what do you mean? You mean are the cases being? You want to see faster cases? What exactly do you mean? Explain.
That as well as putting things in place to stop the hemorrhaging.
When you say stop the hemorrhaging, exactly what do you mean? I wanted you to be specific in what you're saying. Let me give you an example.
I remember years ago when we had a problem in New Orleans, right? The then commissioner put, I think it was two police outposts, one in the Orleans and one in Chapel. Because I had a couple of murders down there. And quick stuff, it went down. You can remember that?
Vaguely, but I think, yeah, vaguely.
I am not seeing that happening. That's what I'm talking about.
Do the same type of conditions exist where you can use the same strategy? Because you know the strategy has to change. There is community policing going on, where you do have police officers, police ranks in the different communities that are known to be violent. So that is happening.
Okay.
So that's why I ask you, when I ask you what specific action do you have in mind and what would you really like the police to come and tell you, I would really like to hear exactly what you mean.
Okay.
So you gave one example just now, and that is ongoing, it's just in a different way. It's much, in my view, much more comprehensive, because you can't, when you have one police outpost, like say in New Orleans, that only holds X amount of personnel, and they could only look for a small geographic area. They're doing these community policing. They're doing community policing in a variety of areas now, so they don't actually have an outpost. They come from the station. But you know, what else would you suggest?
All right. For instance, we have the first meeting for the year.
Mm-hmm.
That is a real serious hot spot, man.
Serious hotspot, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a serious hotspot. I can't remember ever a police force in that area. That's the truth. right? And look, something has to happen, Michael.
No, I hear your frustration, and the frustration that I'm hearing is the frustration that a lot of us in Barbados are feeling. You made a point too about putting things in place to and because I was trying to get you to say a number of these things, but the fact about it is that what I want to see is the cases being expedited. But you can't get the cases expedited until, one, you get the judges in place. That has been done. But apart from getting judges in place, you also need the prosecutors and people on the ground to expedite their investigations so you can fast track these things. Because we only have a window of 5 years where these people have to have a trial. After they're arrested, you have the trial, then it give them a chance to appeal in the High Court, and then if anything, appeal at the CCJ. And then if we can do all of that within 5 years, then we can take action to, let's say, eliminate them from the rest of our society. Okay? So, yes, I understand where you're coming from. I feel that level of anxiety. And I will say this, Minister Sri on New Year's morning, a number of houses around me, including my own, I mean, a lot of the residents out there, we were sent into a state of fright because some people were shooting off guns. You know, it sounded like if these guys were just like right outside my wall, my guard wall. So I understand where you're coming from. I understand that fear because for me, it is real. I sit down in my house sometimes at night and you hear pops, and you know it's gunshots. So it's real for me. And I would love, just like you, just like most Barbadians, to see the end of this. But I also recognize that it is not that easy. And in any case, if you implement some serious measures, what happens is that you can violate the rights of a number of innocent people too. So it's got to be always that balance. I'm sorry, I'm hearing the actual theme now, so we got to wind up. But, you know, this is, to my mind, one of those issues that we have to discuss. And we have to help the authorities by reporting anything that we've seen. I would want the police to make sure that those who are manning their hotlines and whatnot are courteous enough and are thoughtful enough to be able to question people in such a manner that people would want to talk. Because sometimes you call the police, and I know this as a citizen, and I'm not blaming all the police, but it is a reality that happens. Sometimes you call the police and you don't feel like if you're being assisted, you feel like if somebody's accusing you of something or if you're being a bother. People will not respond to the police if they're treated in that way. So that is something that the police also got to watch as well. Anyhow, we had some robust discussion on a number of issues. I'd like to thank the most excellent Anthony Garrett for calling in and giving his what I thought was a delightful presentation. Thank you to Roy Morris for calling in and making the clarification. Of course, the CEO of Hague Publications for telling us as well about the whole project of the whole demolition and the whole Bridgetown transformation project. And I'd like to thank each and every one of my 17 callers today.